time to talk about the restaurants. Have you been to one? Do you take out? Do you eat there? We'll get a survey that's come out really recently from the Ohio Restaurant Association, actually become the National Restaurant Association, but the president and CEO of Ohio Restaurant Association, John Barker, joins us. Good morning, John. How are you today?
I'm really well. Good morning.
Thanks for joining us and getting some information out. And we'll talk a little bit also about the Restaurant Revitalization Fund that is in need at this point. But what are some of the recent, I guess, things that came out of this survey, even, and this is a sort of from a short period of time that they looked at, right, like the last 3 months or so? What's the status?
Yeah, and just, you know, we've been doing these surveys really since the beginning of the pandemic. You dial all the way back to March of 2020, and we've been doing these surveys to kind of get a sense for how the industry's doing. This is the most recent one, and we really want to track how are things going since the Omicron variant kicked up and caused, you know, a lot of havoc for people in many phases of business. And for the restaurants, two-thirds of them, the restaurant conditions, so their conditions for operating, even being able to open, and of course to make any type of money, are significantly worse than they were 3 months ago. And that's really all because of Omicron. It's kind of sad to watch it because people felt we were coming back in the summer and the fall. It felt a little bit better. And this is, throwing a little wrench into the conditions.
What are the winter months or even the late part of a year's months for a restaurant? How does that usually rate related to other parts of their year under normal circumstances?
It's a roller coaster because you have November with the shopping, people getting ready for the holidays. So a lot of people are out. Then the holidays, that month of December, particularly for sit-down restaurants, where you're going and dine in and then fine dining, casual dining, all that kind of stuff, family restaurants, they typically make a huge portion of their profit. A third to a half of their profit could be made in that November-December period because people are out. They're a little more free, more free with their spending. Maybe they have a little more to drink, things like that, parties, holiday parties. And most of those restaurants lost a big portion of that as we got later into December. And then January is always slow. I mean, it's just a slow month just because of the weather and so forth. But even with that, we have our sit-down restaurants reporting as much as being down 50% this January versus January of 2019, which is the last what I call normal year that we've had.
Seating in restaurants changed over time, obviously, the last couple of years as well. And then there was a point where things seemed to sort of start to get better. And this is pre-Omicron in a sense, where maybe there was a little bit more. Then they kind of had to, reinstate maybe some of the protocol that they had early on in the pandemic?
Yeah, some of the protocols. It's more the reason that sales are down are really two reasons. One, there's a portion of the population when we've had these surges that just won't go out to eat anymore. They won't go and sit into restaurants. And so we lose about 10 to 20% of our normal customer base when that happens, with the exceptions of going into like quick service where you pick it up at the window and things like that. Those tend to not really be affected by that. The other side that really impacts the industry is so many people are testing positive and out. We have restaurants that can't open. They have to limit their hours or completely close sometimes for a day. We've had restaurants basically, and this is all over the state, by the way, they'll just say, we cannot open. We don't have enough people, so we're going to take a week off. And when you see that, I mean, they lose everything. All the sales are gone, all the profits are gone, but all the bills keep coming in. And in some cases, they have to give away the food, at least the perishable food. So it's really a tough situation for folks.
And I know a lot of folks have learned a lot of things over the last couple of years as well, and the government worked in with the Restaurant Revitalization Fund. Tell me a little bit about that, how that worked, how it's worked for some folks, and how it really it's not helped in other regards.
Yeah, so the government, really the last 22 months has helped both federal numbers, state numbers, and even a few local grants and things like that. It's barely helped these restaurants. Again, what we're primarily talking about here are independent mom-and-pop small restaurants or small chains. That's what we're really talking about. This Restaurant Revitalization Fund came out. It was $28 billion, and it was approved, and many restaurants got it, but only about a third of the restaurants who applied and were qualified and were approved got the money. So they kind of randomly picked one-third of restaurants. So you could drive down the street in Elyria, there's one restaurant that got the money, they're doing well, they've been able to pay their bills, they're able to raise wages maybe for their employees a little bit, be more competitive. The very next restaurant with the same kind of financial situation did not get it, and they're moving closer and closer to the breaking point. So that's we're asking Congress to basically replenish that fund for, there's only two industries that have been completely crippled during the pandemic. One is restaurants, the other is cruise lines. And, the government steps in when we have natural disasters like a hurricane, tornado. That's what the government's trying to do. But, you know, we're trying to get Congress to come around, you know, and they seem to be focused on everything but this kind of thing right now, you know, if you pay attention to D.C.
John, was it a matter that these restaurants that did not receive money, did the government, did that fund run out of money? What were the reasons for denial?
They, they only appropriated $28 billion. The amount of restaurants, based on the losses, so there was a whole formula they had to go through, based on the losses, that fund needed to be closer to about $70 billion to take care of all the restaurants. It sounds like a ton of money, and it is. But when you think about, this is the second biggest industry in the United States, the second biggest industry in Ohio. This is the bellwether for our economy, and supply the restaurants supply everybody eats about 52% of all the food that human beings eat on in the United States right now. So there's a lot of reasons to protect this industry and make sure that it makes it through this.
Not the least of which is you're thinking, what happened to my neighborhood eatery? We could become so, conditioned to that. We enjoy the local food. We enjoy being able to get there. And the fact that I've got that kind of slapped in your face where you kind of go up to the door and you think you're ready to go in and you think, why is this door locked? It's like a Tuesday afternoon. They should be open. And then you read a handwritten sign and then you suddenly realize how close all this stuff comes to home.
It really does. And, when you think about people become accustomed to using restaurants, it's a lifestyle now. It's no longer just kind of a choice. People use it. Some people, younger people that, watch cooking shows and then go out to eat. So it's part of our life. If we had to all go to the grocery store, if 100% of our food had to come from grocery stores tomorrow, we would have a crisis like you've never seen in the United States. There's not enough grocery stores. There's not enough processing to be able to fill the grocery stores. So that's why we got to maintain the business, the way it is right now, and keep both, both channels strong so that, here in America, we're used to, being in a world where with a great democracy, you can go out and you can either go to a restaurant, go to the grocery store, you choose.
John, on one of our other programs here on WEOL, an economist talked about supply chain issues and the food industry, and she said there's enough food out there, but one of the problems is delivery, that some places are simply not enough truckers, not enough truck drivers. Are restaurants impacted by this?
Yeah, it's interesting. We work with all the other big associations around the country and the state, and the trucking association is completely crippled right now. They are so short of truckers right now that they're creating all kinds of development programs to try to get people into that industry, because it's affecting everything, right? It's affecting, you're building a house or you need a new washing machine or you want a car. Go try to buy a car right now. Everything is on back order. Everything is can't get anywhere, right? And food, a lot of our food moves long distances, particularly if you think about it, fruits and vegetables and things like that, because this time of year, it's all coming from either Florida or the far west coast, the southwest, things like that. And so we really need that trucking apparatus around the United States, same as all the processing plants, all the distribution plants. This is a big machine, and all those businesses are shorthanded with employees. This great resignation, that the U.S. has gone through has affected every single business that we're aware of, including restaurants.
With the restaurants that close, and on a normal year, you'll still have a number that will close for whatever reasons, but you have entrepreneurs, you've got family, that have been involved in restaurants for years. What do you see down the road in the sense, are there still people interested in that industry? Do they think it's not going to work? Are we going to have a decline for a while? What do you see in that?
Yeah, we lost 3,150 restaurants since the pandemic in the state of Ohio. We've lost a little over 90,000 across the United States. So it's been a carnage. But even during that, people are opening. We are seeing restaurants open all over the state. We track that very carefully. When somebody puts a license in, of course, we step in to try to help them, get through all that. It's a resilient bunch of people that have had to close down restaurants. Some of them said, I've had enough. I'm going to go do something else. But many of them said, nope, I'm going to rework my business model. I'm going to come with a different type of a restaurant. You're always going to see sit-down restaurants. You're always going to see fine dining restaurants because people still enjoy to do that. But you're going to see more and more drive-through restaurants. You're going to see, you know, that kind of, you know, pick up at the front door, pick up quickly at the counter. We call that fast casual. You're going to see more of that. You may have heard of ghost kitchens. That's the delivery. You know what I mean? So you don't ever go to the restaurant. It's just a place that makes a bunch of food. You don't even know where it comes from, but you get it delivered. And a lot of young people, our millennial generation and our Gen Zs, are very comfortable having all their food delivered to them. And so you're going to see an evolution of the industry. You're going to see a little bit more of that. And that's how you have to, you know, in business, you have to evolve and you have to innovate and you have to keep moving.
Well, it's a lot to take in with a lot of things, and people on, you know, following on social media, they can find out about their restaurant, or I get a notice that says temporarily change hours, and you kind of have to adjust our eating schedule for a while, perhaps. If we wanted to find out more about that restaurant revitalization fund and how things are going through Congress, where's a good place to get some information on that?
Yeah, we have a good website. It's just called restaurantsact.com, so restaurantsact.com.